All right, welcome everyone to Miracle Business Breakthrough. This is your host, Amy Yamada, and I'm so excited to have you here tuning into our speaker series. Today, I'm so excited to introduce today's featured speaker, Jason Spurlock. And I have to tell you, Jason is one of the most authentic, compassionate people I have ever met. He's the author of The Designer Business Blueprint and the host of the industry's number one performance coaching wake-up call, Morning Ignition, where over 350,000 freedompreneurs have started their home business workday over the past 12 months. And the reason I wanted to introduce Jason to all of you is that he has an extraordinary story from homelessness and sleeping on sidewalks to recruiting over 100,000 affiliates with earnings topping $1.8 million per month. So he empowers entrepreneurs to go from the startup level to six figures to over $1 million and beyond in 60 days or less, and even on a shoestring budget. It's truly extraordinary. So, Jason, thank you for joining me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I mean, just, you know, having gotten to know you over the last few months and just reading through your bio and everything we've talked about leading up to today has been so inspiring. I had no idea what your story was even until after we first chatted on your show. And when you shared that with me, I was so blown away, because you wouldn't think that seeing you and getting to know you as far as where you are now. So what I would love for you to do, if you're so willing, is to take us back in time and think about some of your own miracle business breakthroughs. So can you take us back to some of those moments in your life?
Yeah, I can. I guess before we get to the breakthrough, I got to give you the breakdown. Is that cool?
Okay. Yeah,
I'll do it 2 minutes or less. You know, I got started in the industry. The first keyword, in fact, I was at my father's house on Thanksgiving in 2007, and I had just completed graduate school and an internship, and I was looking at going to Detroit, Michigan to do an internship or a residency, excuse me. And that was going to be for about 4 to 5 years and 120 hours a week working, and I was going to be making $35,000 a year. Mm-hmm. I was recently divorced. My ex-wife, or separated wife at the time, completely took off with another man, and my son, who is 4, getting ready to start kindergarten, was in Florida, and that was about 800 miles away. Now, going to Detroit would have been even further, and of course, you know, so there was a desperate pain. That's what I'm getting to. There was a desperate pain I needed to make. So I got online at my father's house on Thanksgiving. I never will forget it. And you know what the first keyword that I ever typed into Google for, like, searching for a solution? And this is kind of interesting. So searching for a solution, because I'm sure that we'll get to this in just a little bit. My keyword was lazy loaded guy.
Say that again. Lazy what?
Lazy loaded guy.
Okay. Lazy loaded guy.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
And I met a guy by the name of Aaron Parkinson. And then he quickly introduced me to a guy by the name of Brian Swan. And those two guys, to this very day, are some of my best friends in the industry. I mean, I didn't buy their stuff, you know, didn't take any of their coaching, blah, blah, blah. But I did know that they were sincere. Now, their lifestyle wasn't necessarily, you know, even having no experience whatsoever, I just didn't really feel that it was a good vibe for me. But I did know that they were telling me the truth, right? Mm-hmm. So that was my first kind of eye-opening experience. I knew that it was possible. So, like I said, I said no, walked away from everything that they were offering. And about 3 weeks later, I had just left the library doing my studies and, you know, getting ready for, you know, again, just practicum to start up in January. And I got onto the internet again and just typed in home business. And I met a lady by the name of Jan McLean in Ontario, Canada. And to this day, we're best friends. Instant chemistry, you know, same type of stuff, you know, same, you know, techniques, I guess, or whatever, but totally different vibe. So the first lesson is there's some, you know, get started doing, you know, pursue your own passions and create your own, you know, express your own authentic voice, simply because there's people out there that will resonate with that. But so I got started kind of doing my own little thing very quickly and made about $60,000 in my first 60 days. So I had some success with this. I just got it. I mean, it just made sense to me. I was in the military, you know, prior to all of this kind of graduate school stuff. and is doing engineering, none of which has anything to do with like building stuff on the internet. But the mindsets and the principles of all these little different moving parts and systems coming to work together and talk together, that made sense to me, and I just kind of got it. And I'd worked, you know, before even college, I'd worked a little bit of telephone sales, you know, and you're selling these products on the phone with all of these little, you know, telemarketing companies and stuff just to kind of get through school. And so I understood the sales process. So that even going, and in fact, when I was in college, I was going door to door to door, and I was just asking, I was selling paint jobs. You know, there was a franchise painting company, and they would pay you $20 a lead. And I quickly discovered that the best way to get leads was to go door to door to door to door to door and just ask people, do you need a paint job? And if so, would you mind that if I gave you a free service called an estimate? You know, in other words, you're just building a relationship of trust and just offering them this free stuff. And, you know, if they trust you, right, so what's – because the last thing that a homeowner wants to do is deal with a bunch of drunk painters, you know, and I was better than that. So there's clearly a superior alternative in the market right there, right? So so that works out pretty good. So between that and the telephone sales, I knew enough about sales and, you know, the piecing stuff together in the military that even after, you know, graduate school that had nothing to do with any of this, you know, I just got it. And I was kind of successful, 60 grand in 60 days. So I quickly said, you know what, I understand this and I want to do it on my own. I mean, I've got my own, you know, business has just always made sense to me. It's something that was, you know, starting a grass cutting business by the age of 14, you know, and you're saving up all of your money to go on all of your trips when you're a teenager and buy your first car and cash and blah, blah, blah. So I was a pretty good kid. But the business was always something that interested me, and it was something that I wanted to really try out and do on my own. And I saw a lot of people, specifically in Australia, that were kind of giving away these business plans. And I would kind of download them and look at them. And then there's a couple other, you know, internet marketing was first really starting to take off at that particular time because all of these other little systems were coming online about that same time. And I just kind of got the idea of these replicated websites and all of these other people kind of promoting these replicated little lead capture pages, if you will. So I was like, you know, if I can just tap into that, that's where I need to be. And, you know, that's the kind of the, quote, red pill that I was looking to take. Well, I thought that I could certainly do all this in about 6 months with the money that I'd saved, with the money that I'd earned. And so 18 months later, completely, you know, busted financially, you know, like I was hemorrhaging money like a sieve, right? And there's always a girl involved, right? And so so there's always a girl involved. And then so you go out and you look for a new place to live. And this is in Florida, like right on the, you know, right on the water. And so I found a new place to live. And man, I was so grateful. I was like, this is really sweet. You know, this house is so much better. Like, things are going to be awesome. I want to get this done. And, of course, I'm still motivated to complete this project that I've been working on for so long. You know, it's just, I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I was just so struck that I was absolutely bound and determined if I died, I was going to finish this thing. I was not going to let this thing go to waste, you know, and I was really passionate about it. So anyway, so I got into this cool little house. It was a, you know, split level, three bedroom, close to the water. Everything was great. The police knock on the door 5 days later, and they said, you got 5 minutes to get out. And I'm like,
what?
Exactly, right? What? And come to find out that the landlord was in foreclosure on the house.
So
So the landlord didn't own the house. The Bank of Wachovia owned the house. And the police were serving me a trespassing notice saying I had 5 minutes to get my stuff and get out. Lord. So now, you know, you obviously lose most of your stuff. Just whatever will fit in the back of your car at that point is going with you. And there's nothing you can really do about it except for go to jail or figure this out in court. And that wasn't, you know, it was just terrible. So that was actually a blessing. Okay. Let me, you know, going in forward, this is actually, this terrible thing is actually a blessing. But I was driving down A1A in Florida. You know, just feeling all, you know, how bad can you feel if you're still in a brand new, you know, 5 Series BMW? You know, things could be worse. You know, you're on the coastline in Florida, blah, blah, blah. Out of nowhere, man, the car blows up. And and I literally had to leave it on the side of the road. And I had $120 in my pocket. And I called my dad. My brother even felt sorry for me and even got me a pizza. He had it delivered to me on the sidewalk, man. This is crazy, like at the bus stop. And so I got back home with my dad, and my dad says, man, you need to find the Lord, son. You've got some bad stuff going on in your life, some bad voodoo, karma, woo stuff going on.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was just absolutely set on the fact that there was something that was going on that I needed to repent for. And I was like, you know, this is crazy. And so we actually ended up kind of falling out over that. I was like, Dad, you know, what do you want me to do? I mean, literally, I even signed like a power of attorney over to my father during this, just to get him off my back. I said, dude, there's go search for any type of stuff you want. There's nothing there. Like, this is an unfair situation that is happening. This
right.
injustice will not stand. And as a man, you know, you just feel disrespected, ultimately. So, like, Dad, I'm
right.
still the same guy that I was last year, you know, medical school, whatever. Like, this is just a situation called life and circumstances, and this too shall so pass, and I didn't like any of that stuff anyway, so blah, blah, blah. Next thing, so my dad is, I had nowhere to go. I mean, bottom line is I have nowhere to go. And I found myself hitchhiking a ride to somewhere and ended up in downtown Lexington, Kentucky in a homeless shelter 2 days later. And so I was able to salvage my laptop, of course, all through that. Because I had, you know, just, like the stuff out of the house and the car, and it broke down. And you got a, you know, messenger bag that you're kind of walking to the bus station with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm literally homeless. And it's the wintertime, and I ain't got no clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You hear this little hillbilly, I ain't got no clothes. seriously.
Oh, my gosh.
And next thing you know, I mean, the holes are busting out of my shoes. I mean, it was a bad situation, and it was so uncomfortable. Look, I mean, some of these guys were really good at being homeless, and I wasn't. I mean, I was a terrible homeless person. I mean, but, you know, just the big business breakthrough comes in now that we're here. Yeah, I want to explain. So here
mm-hmm.
I am, like,
sure.
in the library,
mm-hmm.
and I'm doing the thing, and I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And my friend John, who was a laid off construction worker at the time. And, you know, there was a girl involved in his story too, but he comes up like it's 6 o'clock. And now I'd saved enough money and I went to the city of Lexington and I got a business license, because the homeless shelter will allow you to stay out late if you've got a business license or if you're working a job or whatever. So you don't
mm-hmm.
have to get back into the shelter at 6 PM. Cause I wanted to continue working, and, you know, who wants to be sleeping with a drug felon on the left of me and a crazy man to the right, you know, right?
Right, sure,
so
absolutely.
I'm working
yeah.
my butt off. There's a big, huge pain motivator here. Well, by the way, so let me back up just a little bit. The first lesson I learned on being homeless was that you don't own that stuff owns you.
Mm-hmm.
And I got very clear. So, and the first lesson that I learned, you know, in beyond that was I'm not going to die. And
right.
really, you know, studying psychology and all this personal performance and all this, you know, the paralysis of analysis that so many entrepreneurs get in,
mm-hmm.
Ultimately, when you boil it all down and go up down to the root level cause of it, we honestly think that we're going to die. I mean, we have such
right.
a fear that if we release ourselves and put it out to the world, what if somebody makes fun of us? And what if somebody starts talking about us? What if we fail? And blah, blah, blah. And
mm-hmm.
if you just boil that all down, it's like this innate sense of security that we all desire to preserve. I mean, this is right at the root level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And so it's an irrational fear, but those irrational fears and those on the other side of that is irrational passion to kind of get a result. And so I took that irrational fear kind of dissipated for me, because I learned, you know what, that's crazy. I'm not going to die. I'm going to be
mm-hmm.
okay. And so then it just turned into irrational passion to get it all done.
Right.
So John Wall walks up to me at the library one night, and there's this organization that's set up outside. They're serving soup, you know, and sandwiches, and it's cold and blah, blah, blah. And John walks up and he says, you going outside to get dinner? And I was like, no, John, I'm not that kind of homeless person. I'm the
mm-hmm.
high and mighty homeless person. You know, I'm the sophisticated homeless person that nobody knows
mm-hmm.
about, you know, like, because even at that particular time, your ego is still so powerful and it insists that you're still the most important person in the world. No one understands you, and that, you know, there's just this I'm alone in an island kind of thing.
Right.
Now, this was very important simply because at that particular time, God spoke to me again. And I make no secrets about that. And it says, Jason, you know, miracles are like a river, and they're like a currency, you know, a current like a river and like currency with money. And He says, if you don't go down there and get one of those sandwiches and a bowl of soup and a cup of hot chocolate or whatever, that blessing that those people are trying to bring upon to themselves, you know, those people are looking to get blessings and favor with God ultimately through service to the least of these, my brethren, right? The the weak and weary. And I just realized that if you don't go down there and get that, the blessing stops. The miracle stops. And the currency stops and everything stops if you don't go just participate and be present with what they're trying to do. And so I went down there and I partook of a sandwich, and it was actually pretty good, and I had two. And it was just a huge thing to where, you know, people want to help you, and they're not actually judging you. I think a lot of people get almost, you know, you're a homeless person, and I would save up for like a cup of Starbucks coffee, and, you know, I'd have like a khaki pair of these Dickie pants on and this blue UK sweatshirt, because if you got a blue UK sweatshirt in downtown Lexington, you're cool. You can't be that bad. I mean, it's such a cult following. You know, it's like on the seventh day, God created Kentucky basketball. You know, so if you've got khaki pants on, the leather shoes, and this blue UK sweatshirt, you're not that homeless, and the people will at least interact with you a little bit and stuff. And I kept my hair short and all this, so I tried my best. Mm-hmm. But then they would learn, you know, I'm homeless, and it was almost like there was a leprosy, you know, and it's like, you know, I'm not contagious. I don't have a house. It's all good, man. And so there was just so many different learning experiences through that. And I found myself walking along the sidewalk, you know, along just completely out in the boondocks. I don't even remember where I was at one night. And I just, at that particular point, it hit me. There is worth in you. And there are a lot of people out here that if you just peel back enough of the layers of the onion and you just calm down a lot of the distractions of our daily life, they suffer from the same pain and they'll resonate with the same problems. And there's this uncovering of all of these delusional kind of layers that we just kind of get caught up in society that you can inspire. You know, you can ultimately allow people to just give them permission to dig deeper by holding that space to make them feel safe, you know, allow them just to be themselves and just give them permission to say, if nothing else, Jesus and Jason still love you. You know what I mean? And I know that's kind of insane, but that was kind of that lesson that I learned along that sidewalk walk, is that it's okay to be yourself now. You know, it's okay to unleash whatever you got to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I, two or three days later after that, I booked one of the convention center or the library conference room things. And I saved up enough money to get a video camera from Walmart. Now, I didn't have the money, but I really needed this money. But Walmart's got a very generous return policy.
So you rented it from Walmart.
I rented this video camera from Walmart. Like, God bless, I owe Sam Walton the $200 for this doggone camera. But I got the best one that they had, and I set it up in the library conference room, and I found some black roofing felt laying in the ditch line. I mean, there was just nothing that was like, you know, once you just kind of let go of all the crap, you know, and you start opening up your opportunistic eyes because you just kind of feel free and inspired and, you know, loved by God, and you just kind of are okay, you know, like that whole just let it all go. And so I found some roofing felt laying in the ditch line or in the creek, and some boards, and I pieced them together, and they thought I was crazy inside the library, but I had to get a background for this video that I was going to shoot. And so I had $15 left over. I got to shoot it from Walmart. I shot the videos and got a free trial of some software on the internet, and I edited them as best as I could, put that thing out on the internet, made $300,000 that year. Totally changed my life.
From that video?
From that, well, there was three videos total, but yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I even emailed Eben Pagan at the time, and I said, dude, you know, here's what I've got. You know, this is what I'm doing. So I've worked really hard. I didn't go into the homeless crap. I mean, I just wanted to be accepted on my merit. And I was like, you know, I really resonate with this Get Altitude program that you've released. And I really resonate with your style. And there's a couple of things that you said in this video. Would you mind if I use these examples and then I'll cite you in the work? And he says, no, man, absolutely. And what that did was, I mean, I obviously had success, but people will start paying attention to you at that particular time. Like, wow, this guy earned $300,000 as a homeless guy. And he called me asking for, you know, so he can use three paragraphs out of my sales video. That's pretty cool. You know, so that opened up a relationship with like some very influential people right away. So anyway, so I had this particular software program laying on my computer like for 2 years, and just had this idea. And so after that whole thing, you know, ran its course, I at least earned enough money. I mean, just $300,000 isn't like a life-changing amount when you're that far in the hole, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot
sure.
of crap going on. So that December, you know, I'd got some stability, but my business was slowing down again, and I just thought, you know, I've really developed some skills producing this type of stuff, and now I'm just going to try to do this type of stuff because I really would like to – I like this, and I would like to see if I can do it. And so I ended up producing a website that was supposed to be a portfolio website that I was going to show other entrepreneurs or, you know, business, you know, owners and decision makers and say, you know, this is my portfolio over here, and I just produced this one over here, so this gives you two different examples of, you know, the skill sets that I can do for you. And because, you know, again, this was all about behind-the-scenes stuff. I mean, yeah, I made
right.
some money, but it wasn't like I was selling a buttload of my own products as much as I was just doing stuff for other people behind the scenes.
Right.
And so, which is pretty cool. It fit me, you know, it really did. And you know, all of these folks who think, for example, that they got to be like this big, huge, charismatic leader and write all these books and speak from stage, I've always had, you know, the hindsight to know that that's not really necessary. You know, there's a lot of different ways and a lot of different genius kind of skill sets and stuff that you can identify and develop and to be successful. Anyway, so I produced this portfolio website, quote-unquote, an accidental success. I sent it to three of my friends on Skype, and they thought it was pretty awesome. You know, they were like, dude, man, we had no idea that you were working on this. This is pretty crazy. Yeah, we think this will convert. And so
mm-hmm.
we just decided that night we were going to just – they, not even me, because we wanted just to do a completely normalized test, right, just a straight
mm-hmm.
test of internet marketing kind of stuff. And so they agreed that they would choose 10 people from their list each, and that we would send these emails out to 30 people total. And
okay.
The very next day we had 200 customers. And the day after that we had 400. The day after that we had 700. The day after that we had 1,200 and then 2,000. Next thing you know, it's the fastest growing direct sales company in the world. And that's the big business breakthrough, the miracle business breakthrough. That's
wow.
it.
So what was the what did the portfolio include in it about kind of the behind the scenes kind of services that you offered and all that?
So what kind of services?
Yeah, so when you said that you produced this website and you said that
oh.
you know you kind of focus on behind the scenes and those were the skill sets, and so what was
yeah.
in the portfolio?
Well, that, great question. Again, I was a fan of like Evan Pagan and Frank Kern and, you know, all of these early pioneers of direct response stuff on
okay.
direct response marketing. And I saw how they were doing it, and I saw how other professionals were doing it, and I saw
okay.
a clear advantage. And then with the whole make money online niche that was really taken off at that particular time, there were a couple of different systems. And so, in other words, I'm a systems guy. You know, so it's
got
start
it.
To back, but it's a total paradigm. So it's a complete, quote, system.
Okay.
And so, you know, we take it for granted now, but you might have a landing page that says, you know, give me your name and email address, and I'll give you a free ebook, you know, or whatever, a free
right.
audio, or, you know, consultation. And, you know, and you might transcribe that type of content or that value in a number of different ways, audio, video, printed out, whatever. And, you know, that was a new kind of a paradigm then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, I saw these, quote, systems. I saw all of these thousands, literally tens of thousands of people promoting this free offer. And these tens of thousands of people were like, yeah, I can promote this and make some money on it. Well, I'm thinking like the banker, you know, like, how do I get money on all of these little fellers?
Right.
How do I make all that money? And, I mean, it's not like it's not evil or anything like that. It's just a different chair that you're going to sit in. I mean, somebody's going to create those things, and as long as they're good, so I'm not telling you to use this in manipulation of any way. But I
right.
mean, even like Evan Pagan and Frank Kern and Brendan Burchard and Jeff Walker, and they all, you know, we kind of call them the syndicate now in the space. You know, they'll kind of run their launches kind of in syndication with one another, and you're just
mm-hmm.
kind of getting hit in your inbox one after the other. And that's kind of the, you know, so they're all affiliates of each other, you know, they're all, they've
mm-hmm.
got a list of a million people and 100 million or whatever, and they're all promoting kind of the same stuff. And so everybody's on everybody else's list. You know, if you get one
right.
from Brendan Burchard, you're going to get one from Evan Pagan, you're going to get one from Frank Kern, and it's all the same stuff. And then they come up with all these bonus, about, you know, bonus courses and stuff like that. Anyway, so that's what I just got, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be the creator of that stuff and allow other people to kind of sell it for me, you know? And so that came in. I learned really quickly that the hard work should not be in the producing the product. I mean, it's not that the product's not valuable. I'm just saying that producing the product is not hard.
Right.
So it's really just the way that you're going to frame your questions more than anything. I mean, Tony Robbins, for example, says that the quality of your questions is the quality of your life. And if you're an entrepreneur, the quality of your questions determine the size of your bank account. And I'm really not joking about that. And it's a slight reframe that most entrepreneurs miss, and maybe we'll talk about it in this call. But, you know, it's so it's a complete system. So, you know, everything from, like, thousands of affiliates, give me your name and email address, here's my free video, buy my stuff, download your stuff here. And so that was kind of the system. But then when I evolved into the other stuff,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the crazy thing, it's a crazy story, man. But I decided to get involved in a different kind of niche, more of a affiliate marketing, but it was what we call power lines, or affiliate marketing using power lines, which was a little bit more of a leverage to make money online stuff. Again, it's not illegal or block, it's not MLM or Ponzi schemes or anything like that. It's just super affiliates, you know, like you've heard the term super affiliates and multi, you know, like where you get commissions and overrides and stuff. And all
right.
of these different types of affiliate networks were using this type of stuff. So I thought, well, rather than going and selling with that affiliate network, I'm just going to try to create my own thing. So I created a product for a training product, just a complete training product for network marketers. And because I saw some, there were 63 million network marketers at the time, so there were millions of people that could purchase my stuff that were already trying to make money online. And I really saw a gap in the market with what was available to be. So I knew that I could create a tool or something to service these folks to allow them ultimately to make more money in less time with less effort so they can enjoy more time off.
Right.
And that's what, and it worked. I mean, it took me about 2 weeks to create the entire thing. In fact, this was the funny part. It was, like I said, it was a network marketing training product, virtual training stuff, right? I even called it damn thing network marketing virtual training. I mean, it turned out to be a very descriptive name, network marketing VT. And I even gave the logo as a pyramid and everything. So it was weird. I mean, it's really weird, but it ended up taking off, and it was like, it was huge. So, but it was an accidental success, but there was maybe 20 people or so that went on to create at least $100,000 in that business in the first 9 months or so. And so it was, that's a life changer. So that's kind of the business model. But, you know, again, I've had clients, man, from everything from financial planners and realtors. Realtors are the number one people that just, quote, do it wrong, in my opinion. All right. So this is my humble expert opinion. I'm really kind of convinced of this. But, for example, a realtor and sometimes even authors, speakers, coaches, and everyone is guilty of this. And you'll go, but realtors are the worst. You'll go looking to buy a house. And a realtor will put their picture in this home buyer's magazine, you know, standing up there with their little for sale sign and says, you know, if you like this house or any of the other houses in this whole magazine, call me now. You know, here's my number.
Right.
And I was just like, you know, where's the value in that? You know, so in other words, if content is king, as Bill Gates said back in 1996, then, you know, it's really, there's nothing wrong with saying that content is cash. You know, so in other words, I'm just looking to get a response out of that customer. I know that, for example, that if they turn the page, the person that gets the free little home buyer's guide out of the little mailbox thing out on the sidewalk, if they turn the page, I probably lost them forever. So it was very important for me to be able to capitalize on each and every one of the interactions that I got with potential customers and visitors and get their information and give them extreme value in return. So that's the business model that I subscribe to today. You know? I mean,
amazing.
Taking advantage of every opportunity that you can get to turn every single eyeball into your customer to do it fast. I mean, look, just to illustrate the point, I mean, if it were possible, you as a coach and, you know, transformational benefit and value with people right now, I mean, that's kind of what you want to do, right? So then isn't it an ideal situation that when somebody, you know, visits your website, more than 40% of the time they're going to give you some information so that you can perpetually follow up with them and turn them into a customer, either today or tomorrow or whatever, but you want to shorten that sales cycle as short as possible so that you can, you know, eliminate your time on the telephone, and you want to be able to not only just sell them one thing, but be able to follow up with them again and again with additional products and services and stuff. So, you know, a lot of people think that it's intuitive, of course. I mean, it sounds like an obvious answer, but common knowledge doesn't equal common practice. So a lot of people still make the kind of the – and it's a simple reframe. And to me, it's as simple as us asking the proper questions. And if I may, you can learn how to answer the proper questions, or excuse me, you can learn how to ask the proper questions. Here's a shocker. You know how you figure this out?
How?
Talk to people. Ask them. Ask them. I mean, really, every time that you get on the phone with somebody, one of your prospects or your customers, all you have to do is just say, what keeps you awake at night?
Mm-hmm.
And just listen. You know, it's one of the first lessons I learned in medical school. Dr. Betts says the very first week of orientation, he says, if you'll listen to your patients long enough, they'll tell you exactly what is wrong with them. And that's the case with every single human being on the planet. If you'll listen to them long enough and you'll just ask the right questions, they'll tell you exactly what's wrong with them. And you need to write those questions down. In fact, in medicine, I have an unfair advantage learning this because we call it your SOAP notes. SOAP notes is S-O-A-P, subjective, objective, assessment, and your plan, right? Subjective, objective, assessment, and your plan. Subjective is what they tell you in their own words. And you write it down in their own words. And that's like you will fail clinical examinations in medical school if you don't write it in their exact words. And that's very important as an entrepreneur as well. Write it in their own words. Now, the objective plan is, you know, what I interpret it to mean, right, as a clinician or even as a value provider, as a coach, a speaker, a trainer, et cetera. Then making an assessment is how to get from here to there, right, from where they are to where they want to be. And that ultimately right there is like if you can just reframe that in people's mind, that's the creation of value in and of itself. I mean, I can't stress this enough. From where they are to where they want to be, that bridge that connects the two, it's the secret to happiness in your personal life, and it's the secret to making a lot of money if you can just get people to buy into that. And then the plan is here's what we're going to do for you. You know, take this pill, for example, and call me in the morning. Or for you as a business owner, it can be buy my stuff and it'll make your problems go away. So I don't even understand how we got on that.
No, but I'm sure that everyone that's listening to this is taking notes, and I am as well. So it's just really great information. And what I love about everything you're sharing is that every step of the way, you were able to take something from every part of your journey into the next thing. So even going back to, you know, this whole SOAP, the subjective objective assessment plan, you are able to apply that in business.
And here's how people that are listening to this can apply it to their business right now. Going back to the subjective, when you write it down in your own words, or in their own words rather. So you're writing things down in their own, and you write it down in their own words by talking to them. And you want to be talking to people every single day on the phone. And I'm not talking about your customers necessarily. This is especially value with your prospective customers. People have not given you any money yet. And because you'll discover that if you'll talk to 100 people, you'll kind of come to terms with like the same 10 questions. People are going to kind of ask them a different way, but it's the same problems that keep people awake at night. And I don't care if you're selling cosmetics and shoes or fitness and weight loss stuff or personal transformation or business breakthrough stuff. What you'll find is that human nature has not evolved very much over the past 5,000 years, right? We all have the same concerns. And it's true. And it really, and I'll get very deep with you here, not to be controversial because this is absolutely true, but all of our core desires really all go down to like sex and survival.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is, you know, I want, or Maslow calls it, or Freud rather calls it greed, sex, and envy.
Mm-hmm.
Greed, sex, and envy, sex and survival, whatever. I mean, it's nothing more than biology and psychology. And so it doesn't really matter what business that you're in. If you're asking those questions to your prospective customers and get it in their own words, and then you make an objective plan and then an assessment, how to get them from their pain and their suffering to where they want to be, an alleviation of pain towards pleasure. And that the alleviation of the pain and ultimate pleasure comes from at the climax of buying your product. And if you can, in order to rejection proof your offer, I mean, I've rambled a lot here, so sorry. If you really want to rejection proof your offer and you want to formulate your offer in such a way that people are genetically hardwired to respond to you, right, to in the affirmative. So if people are genetically programmed to say yes to your offer, and this goes back to, you can look at neurolinguistics program or anything else, and if you will say, I understood you to say, and then feed it back to them in their own words. How many of us are guilty at some point of having a pain or a problem or something and saying, no one understands me?
Mm-hmm.
We're all guilty of that. Every
right.
one of us, every single time, it says, you know, no one understands my pain.
Right.
And the reality is, so if you talk to people long enough, and then you'll write down all of the same things that you're hearing over and over and over, and if you, you know, in a sales message, for example, you'll give it back to them in their own words, that
mm-hmm.
immediately shows them that you understand their problem and their concern. And if
mm-hmm.
you start from that point, now you're in immediate rapport, and now you can take the next step to go on to an objective plan. But starting from this subjective is in their own words. And if you do that as a messenger, like what Brendon Burchard calls the millionaire messenger, then you can package your – see, a lot of entrepreneurs will make the mistake of trying to say, well, I'm certified in this, and I've got experience in this, and da-da-da-da-da. And that is like where 95% of all coaches, speakers, authors, trainers, gurus, et cetera, they'll all fail right there. If
mm-hmm.
they start from a position of what I call simple selfishness. And
mm-hmm.
the value creation is all in selflessness, and it starts by just being able to repeat the problem that your target laser-focused person has, their problem. If you can repeat it in their own words, now you can start from that point. Now that's – and it's the only starting point to get that. Otherwise, it's just forceful and you're chasing or whatever. But because if you take it from their perspective, and now I can get them to where they want to go, right? Alleviation
mm-hmm.
of pain and the pursuit of pleasure. And I can show them like some type of satisfaction value, and I can give them a big promise and an expectation of what they're going to receive. Now I've got their attention. Now I've got their eyes open. And then that's when marketers, you'll see like using the whole scarcity thing, like taking it away and kind of blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, but it's only available to the first 100 people, you know, because I'm going to take this big expectation away from you if you don't act now, you know. And but then, you know, but at the same time, it can be very ethical. I'm not saying that to use this in a negative way. And if you want to be, you know, totally transparent in the way that you're doing this, be fearless enough to say, if I can't cure your problem with these three simple steps, for example, I'll give you your money back. So you've got
right.
absolutely nothing to lose. And that person at that particular says, man, this irrational fear that I have, I feel like it's literally going to kill me. And this person is going to offer to alleviate all of my suffering into pure bliss, and I have nothing to lose. Okay, I'm in. And in
right.
fact, like word of advice here for all the coaches, and again, if you want to build a good coaching business, for example, don't be afraid to even reduce it down to that. It's just such a minuscule psychological hoop to jump through for them to take the next step with you. Is, for example, if you got a group coaching program, offer a free
mm-hmm.
trial for $1. Try it out. You'll be amazed at who will follow. And if you can do that, you know, give them just a $1, like completely no risk guarantee or something, that you not only understand them, but you're selflessly going to help them. Why would they not say no? You know, why would they not say no? And so if you can do that 500 times,
mm-hmm.
you know, through just like placing an ad on Facebook or whatever, which, I mean, for example, if you look at, I've got a composer who's a client, literally a Scottish-born composer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing my voice here. And he wants to compose music. Gosh, I'm really losing my voice. I'll try to do it.
That's because he's sharing such a great story and all these tips for us.
He wants to compose music for.
Yeah, he
wants to compose music for yoga teachers so that
mm-hmm.
they can, as they go through this vinyasa flow, he wants to be able to compose the music specifically to the chakra that is being targeted in that particular posture. So in other words,
mm-hmm.
if you're doing a cobra pose, it's a heart opener. So let's play a C-sharp chord with a 256 hertz frequency, and that's in alignment with the yellow chakra, I think, or blue chakra. No, it's the yellow chakra, which is the heart. Maybe. You know this. I don't know.
Oh,
anyway,
no, I don't know off the top of my head.
Like the throat is the blue, and so blue is aligned with a specific frequency. And so, and a lot of people understand that there is power in musical and sound healing already. I mean, so that's not
mm-hmm.
very conspiratorial. I mean, people know that there's power in sound healing. And a lot of, you know, obviously millions and millions of people every single day go to a yoga studio, and he wants to kind of bridge the two to get a more
right.
powerful experience. So, you know, if he can kind of compose that one time, and put that as an information product, and then take it another step further. But wait, I'm going to give you the information on how you can educate your students on exactly what I'm producing for you. And I've already choreographed the yoga flow, and I'm going to give you the marketing so that you and your students can share this, and it'll go viral on Facebook, because you'll be the only one that's completing these yoga flows with this ancient science and this mathematically tuned music specifically calibrated for these chakras, so that you can have a greater conscious awareness and more healing and balance and, you know, posture and alignment, you know, throughout your routine, and yet you'll walk out of here feeling 10 pounds lighter. Now, he wants to sell that particular – now, what yoga instructor on the planet, if they're in a competitive market and they want to fill up their yoga studio, what yoga practitioner would not pay $9.99 for a three-hour playlist?
Right.
I can't think of one. I mean, if it's choreographed, they don't even have to run out the routine. If they get the marketing, if they get the information that not only educates them, but they get to educate their students, if you can package that all up, hey, yoga instructor, I want to give you a free sample of this. Give me your name and email address. Oh, it's $9.99, blah, blah, blah. But wait, you know, who wants just one yoga flow? You know, for $5.99 more, I'll give you two more additional bonus hours, you know. And then there's a continuity program with it and everything. So that's my methodology. There's no resistance, and you don't have to talk on the phone.
Right. That's amazing. And it's just, you can tell there's a process to it, you know, but it makes sense for the ideal customer. And I just love what you're saying about really providing the value and understanding their pain. So it's just
providing the value. I just want to highlight this, because 95% of all entrepreneurs will miss this point. Providing the value comes when you understand their questions, and you can start out with this objective of repeating it back to them at that particular point. That's where value creation starts. And no place else. Really, I mean, I'm so passionate about this. If you don't know the pains of your problem, the pains of your customers and prospective customers, and you can't spit them off verbatim right off the top. Now, and like I said, the good thing is that once you get it all down, you know, you understand that everything's like sex and desire, or sex and survival, or greed, sex, and envy. It's all psychology and biology, right? I mean, they're the same types of things. But if you can't, so that's the root level cause. But if each niche and each coach or guru, you'll be speaking with different people. Each authentic voice is going to attract a different person. So, like, your style is going to be completely different than, you know, even Tony Robbins, for example. I mean, so the people that address their stuff with him, I mean, I've seen people get very intimate, you know, they'll dive deep. I mean, they'll vulnerably offer so much of their personal pain and suffering in their private lives to him on stage, and it's absolutely profound. And so a lot of people are even scared to repeat their problems and pains back to them, because we think it's almost like taboo, like we don't go there. But if you do that, then it totally sets you apart, and then that person says, wow, now we can talk about this. Now it's out in the open. I don't have any secrets. I don't have to live in pain or denial or delusion anymore. And I swear to God, denial is the number one drug of choice in all of civilization today. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, if you live there too long enough, you get delusional, and that's psychopathy. I mean, it's crazy, but that's the importance of understanding this particular value shift if you want to make a difference. And I believe that everybody that listens to this wants to. So I think it's the most important lesson I can offer you is learn how to frame the questions that you ask to your prospective customers, and then listen for their answers in their exact words, and then repeat it back to them in that same way with a solution for it. And it has nothing to do with you. I mean, I can't stress this enough. It has nothing to do with us as the practitioners, the clients, or the creators and all the coaches and blah, blah, blah. Look, people need your love and acceptance a lot more than they need your coaching and advice. I mean, and when coaches understand that, you know, and you have to allow people to know that I do understand you and I do accept you. Now we can move past that. And so with coaching and advice. But you can't, you know, there's the old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Right? So talking a million miles a minute here. And damn, you're supposed to be an
No, I'm just letting you do this because the content is so amazing. And, you know, I just find it so valuable. And I'm sure everyone who's listening is just blown away by your story and all these amazing tips. I mean, you're just a wealth of knowledge. There's so much here that I feel like we could do an entire series just on what you're teaching. but we are getting close to the end of our interview here, as much as we'd like to continue on. So in saying that, this is a perfect kind of segue, as you've been sharing about really learning how to frame the questions and that value creation of repeating their problem and speaking to their pain and really focusing on loving and accepting them. So what would you say are the top tips that you want to share with our coaches and newer entrepreneurs that want to get to that first kind of sweet spot in business of getting to that, you know, even six-figure mark, as so many people are in that pain point right now of, I just got started, or I'm in the first couple of years and I'm just not at that sweet spot yet, so I'm a little bit stressed out. What tips would you give them?
Okay, so this is going to be a little bit different. First, I'm going to make a presumption that everybody that's listening at least has they want to be. I'm going to make a presumption that everyone listening either is or wants to be a coach, author, speaker, guru, expert, trainer, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
Anybody who's like an internet entrepreneur or does at least some business on the internet, because when this comes to like selling physical or tangible stuff, this might not work for you. But when it comes to basically all of us then listening are content creators.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to content, we obviously want to produce valuable content. Now, where does the value start? When I can repeat their question back to them.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have spoken with enough people and I know that their pain and their problems because I've asked them the questions and they've vulnerably told me, I should have a list of dozens, hundreds, whatever. I mean, it just you name it. The first tip that I would suggest is to sit down and write out at least 10 pages of bullet points based on the questions that they have asked you. For example, in my particular niche, people say, well, I need to figure out how to get a daily supply of consistent targeted leads. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I need a consistent supply of targeted leads who will opt into my stuff. So, okay, now I know that they probably don't need leads. I know the objective plan is sales. They don't care about
leads.
They want sales, right? So they want money. So I understand that going back down, sex and survival, money's in that survival category, but that's not my concern. I can't say, okay, I want to show you how to make more money. No, because they just told me, they've asked me, how do I get more leads? So don't make the mistake of saying, I want to show you how to get more money. Their question is, how do I get more leads, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they want a consistent supply of targeted leads, so how to, then all you're going to say is bullet point. Take that question, bullet point. How to get a consistent supply of targeted leads. The people want to say, well, I'm overwhelmed and confused. I don't know where to start first. Don't know where to start first? Question mark. Use this simple 15-minute strategy in the morning to start your day, and it'll completely eliminate the overwhelm and confusion of what to do first. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those types of bullet points are profound, and they will reveal to you, because I think that a lot of coaches, for example, they'll get stuck in some type of worthiness problem that we have internally going on where we
mm-hmm.
don't recognize our own value that we have to give to people. This is like
mm-hmm.
a very – I mean, we all kind of know it intuitively that we're valuable human beings, but when it comes time to translate that into cash in the market,
mm-hmm.
we figure like, man, I just can't close the sale, or – how much should I charge, or any of this kind of stuff. I mean, all of those are natural questions, and, you know, we just kind of hit these income plateaus where our financial thermostat is kind of set on whatever, and that's kind of where it stays, you know.
Right.
But if we start writing these bullet points down, starting with their questions, their problems, the things that keep them awake at night. For example, if you're in network marketing, or if you ever have been, do you find it unreasonable to work 2 to 5 years building a team where in the back of your mind you know that the next shiny object could come along and destroy everything that you've worked for?
Mm.
Would that be a common question that they would have?
I'm sure it would be.
It would be. There's 2,000 network marketing companies in the world today, and they pop up every single day. Inside, I'll show you 3 proven communication strategies that will immunize your team development. And if your leader decides to quit, I'll show you how that can be your business breakthrough, how you can turn the confusion into your business breakthrough so that the spotlight is now shining on you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, let's think about this. Yeah, this is okay. Wow, that sounds great. Woohoo! Jason's got some magic silver bullets, right? You know, these secrets that we've always wanted to know. But let's analyze and dissect it. I mean, do you personally, let's go with the first one first, the consistent supply of targeted leads. Do
mm-hmm.
you, Amy Yamada, know where I can find on the internet a consistent supply of targeted leads?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Perfect. Okay. So if you're not getting a supply, so my point is that you can do this too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, Facebook, YouTube, Google, et cetera, et cetera. We could go on and on and on and on. I mean, there's more traffic online now than ever before. I mean, there's literally no such thing as a traffic problem. I mean, we would agree
right.
with this. So in other words, we can take, I'll show you inside how there's no such thing as a traffic problem. How 1 or 2% minor tweaks in your marketing determines whether you work hard to make a few sales or if you can back up the truck and fill it effortlessly with ease.
Right.
See the framing difference?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
When we go back to value creation, I'm starting off with what your problems are in your own words, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can do this because you know where I can find a consistent supply of targeted leads. What was the second one I made up?
You're talking about
the
simple strategy of what to do first or how to
start? What to do first. Of course. I mean, I've interviewed you, for example, and I say, what is your top 3 tips to wake up? I mean, anybody, you know, we can go, but this is, if somebody says, I don't know where to start first, I'm just confused, I'm overwhelmed, I don't know what to do, then if I can give you, if that's what they've said, I'm confused and I'm overwhelmed and I don't know what to do.
Right.
Are you confused and overwhelmed and don't know what to do? Inside, I'll show you how to eliminate that pain problem right away. Just follow
right.
this, you know, every morning, you know, to, do you, you know, I just suffer from a lack of energy.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning when I wake up, I drink a special shake. It's the most nutrient-rich, nutrient-dense, most delicious shake you can ever drink. Tastes great. Inside,
mm-hmm.
I'll give you three, you know, I'll give you the exact recipe that I use, plus a dozen more that you can try for yourself that boost your immune system and increase your metabolism for weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
See? I mean,
awesome.
How big is
yeah.
the market of people that want to lose weight, right?
Well, it's such a good, yeah, and it's just so good to have you sharing this with our audience because I think that so often it's they don't use the wording of their ideal client, like you were saying.
Yeah.
You know, they're just
write that down 10 pages long, 10 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tip number one. I know that's intense, but 10 pages, do that. Because
mm-hmm.
it will change your life if you're writing this 10 pages down. It will change
right.
your life. You're like, wow, I have a nutrient-dense protein shake that I drink in the morning. Holy shit. And I can give the recipe away, and I can go to Pinterest and find 12 more. You know,
right.
I can do this. Like, but that, you know what I mean? And and so when you do that, it will change your life because you'll recognize your value, and
mm-hmm.
you'll also understand your positioning now. Like a light bulb will go off, and you'll be motivated like never before. I swear to God, if you'll get half the result out of this that I did, it will make
mm-hmm.
all the difference in your life and business. The next thing is tip number two: if you don't have a coaching practice yet, start one. And that doesn't mean I'm not asking you to spend all of your time on the phone, whatever. I personally like the whole direct response thing because you can take the first exercise, tip number one, all of those bullet points. What does that become? A sales letter
mm-hmm.
for tip number two. Now I recognize my value. Now I know the questions that my prospective customers are asking, and I know their pain points, and I've already
mm-hmm.
written out the solutions, and I've created value. I started with like, where their questions are, and then I've offered a satisfaction guarantee, like my
mm-hmm.
satisfaction value. Inside, I'll give you a nutrient-dense shake that I drink every morning, right? And
mm-hmm.
I'll give you 12 others that you can try for yourself so you can boost your immune system and for weight loss. So now I have an expectation of even more, right? I have a big promise
right.
for even more of this. So if you can just do that simple strategy, 10 pages long, now guess what? That gives you something to talk about to your particular prospective clients and prospective
mm-hmm.
customers in the coaching program. And,
mm-hmm.
Of course, that goes along with the free gift that I was going to offer with this. But tip number three is stick to your values. Understand that, you know, make a commitment to stick to your values, and that can be, for example, if you want to help other people make more money in less time, right, then you need to be taking time off.
Right.
You know, I even keep it up on my board. I'll read it to you. And it says, you know, people have such big expectations, I feel sometimes, with me, you know, get this done now, blah, blah, blah. Or, you can't do that. You know, how many people said, you can't do that. You're not that
mm-hmm.
good. And it says, you know, prove them wrong with a gentleman's swagger in a way that makes it so easy, I don't care. You know, I mean, and I repeat this because that's my value. I'm just like, I'm not going to get stressed out because of you. I'm like, I am the gentleman, and I'm going to conduct myself with this, you know, I'm going to be myself. And I'm going
right.
and that, what that does is it frees up a lot of that negative energy that is coming at, you know, to kind of, quote, attack you, and it
mm-hmm.
It retains a lot of creative space. And then,
right.
that, you know, that in and of itself, I swear to God, in my study of millionaires over the past several years, I can't stress this enough. If you overlook this one thing, then you're just doing yourself a great disservice and almost like delusional. You just don't know. Anytime that you're going to become, like, truly set on becoming a millionaire, you must wake up at least an hour earlier than what you're ever committed to doing up to this point. Millionaires, successful people, we all wake up early. And there's, I'm not saying you got to work hard. It's just the time before the daily distractions set in. You're most creative. Your juices are flowing. You know, it's before the phone's going to be ringing, before I got to respond to all these emails. That is my time to produce my highest, most leveraged lifetime value content, products, do my own personal deep work, you know, writing my journals, my meditation, et cetera. Then as the world wakes up, I'm playing full out. I'm totally momentum. So wake up, or, you know, start with 10 bullet points, coaching program, and over the long term, get up an hour earlier at least.
That's so good.
Really don't go together, but they really don't go together. But at the same time, if you're serious about your long-term success, you just can't overlook the fact that over 90% of all millionaires in the world get up earlier than their peers.
Right.
It's just impossible to not notice.
Right. So. Absolutely. That was just so good. I hope everyone's taking notes. I'm sure that they are. And we're right at the tail end of our interview. Again, I could talk to you for hours, and so we'll definitely have to do another series or something down the road. I would love to do that. But before we wrap up, I know before we started our interview today offline, we were talking about a special gift that you wanted to share. So did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, you know, I created a module of training recently, and it's actually a module. So I'm going to give like this module plus a bonus that'll tie it in a little bit more, and it'll go into a little bit more of the explanation of what I've talked about here. I didn't even know that we'd get on this subject in this interview. But, you know, it really is, you know, a coaching program, business, product creation. It really is a mechanical process. It's simple implementation. The reality is a monkey can put together a six-figure coaching program. It really, truly, I know it sounds almost offensive to not say that to some people, or controversial, and I don't really mean it to sound that way. But it's like anybody who is on Facebook right now, I mean, for example, if anybody has a blog, I mean, if you have a blog, or if you've ever had a blog, then you have all the experience necessary and all the resources at your disposal to create a six-figure business. And so the product that I was just going to give away is how to create a six-figure coaching program in under 24 hours for the cost of a 99-cent domain name. And it's a mechanical process, and I'll walk you through it step by step by step, and I'll show you exactly, like, over my shoulder, on the screen kind of stuff. It really is a blueprint to make a difference with the free marketing that you're not yet using so that you can live with total freedom. And I'm going to give you inside of these module plus a bonus module. See, again, because mechanics and the implementation of the coaching program are one thing, and then people will always get stuck on, well, I do it, but I have no idea what I want to say.
Right.
And that's why I give you step number one in the tips, write 10 pages of these little questions with the bullet points, because now you know what you're going to say. So I'm going to give you that as a bonus module to go along with that. We did several different examples. I'm even going to give you an example of, like, Boys Life magazine for all the guys listening. And, and I'll tell it to you now. Do you ever looked in one of the back of the magazines, and in the back there's the classified ads, and you get, like, the X-ray glasses and the sea monkeys and all the other little stuff? You know, that's huge. That's a great lesson in value creation out there, and that's what we're going to talk about. But all of the free case studies, there's a business plan. So when I say that this is a six-figure coaching business, I mean it, and I'm going to give you a business plan that goes along with that and the marketing. So that, I mean, there's no hype and no gimmicks in any of this. And I'm even going to give you the resources that I use, and it's totally included, and it's all free except for the 99-cent domain name. And you can go to GoDaddy, and they're going to ask you for, like, $10 for a domain name, but there's coupon codes if you'll just Google them, and you can get them for 99 cents. That's the only expense there is, and I'll show you how to do it in these two modules.
Well, that is so generous of you. So thank you for sharing that with our audience, and we'll make sure that the link is on Jason Speaker's page. So we really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. And so, thanks for anybody who wants to go download it, and feel free to reach out and connect with me on Facebook and stuff. Like, I'm never
definitely
on there.
Definitely.
Whatever.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Jason Spurlock. You're amazing, and I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you sharing so much great information and really opening up with us and sharing your story from everything you've been through to where you are today. It's so it's so extraordinary. I mean, I feel like if you haven't written a book, that needs to be on your bucket list.
I have no idea what I would write about.
Like, I mean, your story needs to be heard by more and more people. And, you know, I'm glad that we're doing this interview, because I definitely want it to be heard by many, many, many people around the world. And so I hope that everyone that's listening will share this with others. And I know that Jason, you and I are going to be sharing it with others as well. And, of course, we would love to chat with you again in the near future. I'm sure we will be talking. So thank you for being a part of Miracle Business Breakthrough. You definitely have had a lot of Miracle Business Breakthroughs throughout your life. And you've applied everything you've learned until the next step. So we really appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having me. And I appreciate
Absolutely.
You. I really do. Thank you so much for allowing me to do this.
Absolutely. And to those of you who are listening to our series, thank you for tuning in. And we empower you to break free and turn your small business into your dream business. Take care.